Well, traditionally, at least for the last few years, I've preached an old sermon by some Confederate. This Memorial Day, I don't really have a sermon. It was a speech that was delivered by a Confederate veteran. And I think in that speech, we see his faith. We see the faith that encouraged, strengthened the Confederate soldier, the faith that they sought to see continue on. Elkanah Burson was a private soldier in Company C of the 44th Alabama. And as such, he participated in many intense battles. At Sharpsburg, he was severely wounded. Subsequent to that, he was promoted to lieutenant. Later on, as he engaged in other battles, he was wounded again at the Wilderness Campaign, and subsequent to that, as he was returned to duty, he had been promoted to captain before the war was over. As he gives his speech, he makes no mention of his own service. It was given April the 26th in 1877. The primary emphasis was indeed upon those who had given their life in the struggle. It's altogether appropriate now that we remember all those veterans as they've all crossed over the river. Elkanah Burson gave this address in Camden, Wilcox County, in Alabama. And as best I can, I present to you Elkanah Burson. This assembling together here in Wilcox County, as you are no doubt all aware, is for the purpose of commemorating another Memorial Day. It is proper, chivalric, and patriotic by ceremonies like these to offer a grateful homage and affectionate tribute to the memories of those who dared all, perilled all, and lost all for the land of their birth. This assemblage and this demonstration that we behold here today are the milestones that mark the journey of advancing time, and their results cause a reunion of hearts, engender common sympathies, and perpetuate the deeds of many a noble soldier. In all ages and in every clime, it has been the custom of every distinguished nation to commemorate the renowned dead, enshrining their memories in the hearts of succeeding generations and causing their heroic deeds to be emulated and imitated by those who come after them. Poets, orators, historians, and artists have with pen, tongue, and pencil sung, spoke, wrote, and delineated the names and families of men, warriors, and patriots whose renowned deeds will endure till time be no more. And we, a people proud of our noble lineage, but still proud of those in whose veins course the nearest and dearest of our own blood, and who, in our opinion, died in a just cause, we here today testify to the world our admiration and adoration for those who fell while struggling for our rights. It is not now the time or occasion to trace the origin or cause of the late war. The law which nerved these men to die was doubtless graven on their innermost souls by the finger of the Almighty. He instilled in them love of native land. He gave them heroic aspirations and lofty thoughts. He was the author of their manhood and courage. He was the ruler of the storm and the king of battles. And in His providence, storm and battles come. If in His wisdom, the storm was permitted to lash about them, who shall dare condemn these men when obeying God-given instincts? They breasted the storm, marched along down the pathway of duty through many troubles and privations to an honorable death. The graves of the dead, scattered far and wide by mount, stream, and sea, and harrowing half a continent, are its mightiest defenders. The duty of the patriot soldier is to defend rights guaranteed to the people under the laws of the land, and to yield obedience to that power of government which shields and protects his people from wrong and oppression. For protection and allegiance are reciprocal. When one ceases, the other expires. Not only is it the duty of the patriot soldier to defend, but to save liberty, to save rights, to save amidst perils that appall the stoutest hearts, to save them where courage and coolness must be present, to nerve the manly arm, and his undaunted spirit is required to sustain the moral intrepidity that meets native land. He must have that noble crop of manly virtues, of fortitude, coolness, and daring that are needed to make up the heroic character. The true soldier delights on the battlefield to hear the grand music of the roaring cannon, the sound of musketry, and the shock of charging squadrons. And the spirit of martial achievements glows, burns, and thrills every fiber of his frame. When this spell of the aroused soul falls upon the man of action, he stands with heaving breast, dilating eye, and thrilling nerve. Nothing seems too lofty for his achievement. But danger so awful as to daunt him. True courage in the presence of danger and peril defines the man and transfigures him for the time being. The image of that godlike spirit which in his primeval time was breathed into his nostrils, pure, unalloyed, and unselfish. Such is the patriot soldier, whose grand deeds and heroic achievements rise resplendent above the tears and groans of mortal agony and mortal bereavement. The fame of the Southern patriots and volunteer soldiers of the South, they who severed the holiest and most sacred ties, who left the doting mother, the fond sister, the dear brother, the devoted father, the loving wife, the trusting friend, the happy home, and forsook a position of ease and comfort to offer up their lives upon the altar of Southern rights, in the maintenance of and in defense of that grand and immortal principle of the right of self-government. Truly, it may be said that the cause in which the Southern soldier fell has in the past shaken thrones, broken scepters, crushed out and crumbled into stone many a dynasty. A cause that will last and endure as long as man thinks, lives, and breathes the air of freedom. Tyrants cannot crush it out. A oppressions may check and stay it for a while, but founded in right, based on eternal justice, and nurtured and cherished by immutable laws of human nature, its march must be onward. It was a heroic devotion of our Southern soldiers to the great cause. It was their fidelity to the principles inculcated by a Washington, a Jefferson, or a Madison, which made them perform such prodigies of valor and do deeds that have encircled their brows with a halo of glory and immortality. The simple recital of the deeds of these men, their lives, and their death now even fills all of Christendom. There were no depths of misfortune they did not sound, no path of duty they left untrod. They defied all things save their honor and their God. Fate did not quench their valor, nor death quell their convictions. Oh, think of their weary midnight marches, the gnawing of hunger, the great suffering in the winter on account of not having comfortable clothing, the agonies of the wounded and dying on the battlefield, the death on the picket post, the last sigh of the dying in the hospital, the sublime end in the forlorn hope, the glorious sunset of manhood in the arms of victory. 4 long years, these men defended their native land and forced their banners to the Ohio. 2x across the Potomac, their valor almost reared on the shores of the little stream that runs by Sharpsburg and on the heights of Gettysburg, a new nation among the people of the earth. They lit the mountains and plains with their dead bodies. Our armies, after 4 long years of toil and many battles, became so worn that the end of the great struggle then came. It was then that the noblest army that ever followed the greatest warrior the world ever saw, and the grandest and holiest cause that ever a patriot drew a sword for, finally surrendered and went down in the darkness and gloom. And whilst today we decorate the graves of our honored dead with beautiful garlands, and whilst the sod beneath which they are taking their last and final rest will glisten with gorgeous floral wreaths and be perfumed with fragrant bouquets, and whilst many a tear may moisten their sacred tombs, and fond memory will delight to dwell on their valor, their heroism, and their patriotism, let us, the living, be not unmindful of the duties that we have to that land for which they so bravely fought and so nobly died. A land which they so dearly loved, and for which they made so many heroic sacrifices, should ever be protected and guarded by honor, devotion, and fidelity. The memory of their undying deeds is surrounded and enveloped in such a bright halo of dazzling glory, so grand and sublime, that we, their survivors, should ever be mindful of our duties and perpetuating that fame and renown which they have transmitted to us, the richest and most priceless legacy ever bequeathed to mortals. By these ceremonies of today, you give outward token and worldly manifestations of your love and veneration, and of your appreciation and admiration of their suffering and sacrifices. You gotta push that button on it. It's back there in the corner.
until 12:45 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. At 11:54 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, National Weather Service Doppler radar.
Sunday, 11:52.
Okay. I'm sorry. We're all kind of... We're all going to die in a tornado or something. But I'm going to keep on preaching or keep on speaking. I guess I shouldn't have that weather radio down here. Or maybe I should. I don't know. A land which they so dearly loved and for which they made so many heroic sacrifices should ever be well protected and guarded by honor, devotion, and fidelity. The memory of their dying deeds is surrounded and enveloped in such a bright halo of dazzling glory, so grand and sublime, that we, the survivors, should ever be mindful of our duties in perpetuating that fame and renown which they have transmitted to us as the richest and most priceless legacy ever bequeathed to mortals. By these ceremonies of today, you will give outward token and worldly manifestation of your love and veneration and of your appreciation and admiration of their suffering and their sacrifices. But it is not in this beautiful and imposing pageantry that we witness here today. It is not by the tongue of the orators or the chisel of the sculptor, that those things these men fought and died for can be reanimated and revivified in the hearts of their surviving countrymen. It was by their faith, acts, and deeds that they achieved an immortal fame. Faith in the teaching of the early fathers and founders of this government. Acts by enlisting in a cause for self-government and resistance unto death to wrong and oppression. Deeds by confronting a nation in arms and dying in the defense of liberty. Let you then see to it that and prove by your faith, your acts, and your deeds, that these men have not died in vain, but that rich heritage, the brilliant luster that clusters around their names, shall be handed down from generation to generation, undimmed by time and untarnished by years. And oh, my countrymen, let not the temptation of worldly preferment and aggrandizement so induce you to act as to cast a dark ray of reflection upon the grandeur of those scenes of the mighty past, which have won for the South a glory that the wealth of the world could not purchase. But now, to you ladies, you have graced the scene by your womanly presence. I have a few brief words to address to you. You, who were ever last at the cross and first at the grave. You, who sustained and honored and cheered these men to the last. To you, more noble than the Spartan woman who gave her trusses for bowstrings and her girdle for sword belts. To you, who dare so much of the danger and sorrow of the strife and shared none of its wild joys. To you, who never mourned, save when your warrior lost faith. To you, God has left the memory of the dead. A glorious past is a nation's highest treasure. All that makes a man great is fed in the contemplation of unselfish heroism. Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Was written not alone to those whose name and blood we inherit, but also of the noble and great of the forefathers, the founders of our country. The nation may neglect the command and forfeit the promise as well as the child. 'Tis something akin to the immortals that makes us long to be altogether worthy of the fame of our ancestors. It is certain that if the child respects himself, he must honor his father and his mother. 'Tis your God-given mission to fashion the man and the boy and nurture the true woman and the girl. 'Tis yours to feed the manly instinct, to train the young eagle to the fight of the old. Then gather round this sacred spot when the flowers sweeten the air and the song of the birds make melody with the children that cluster round you, and tell them the story of their fathers and brothers. Teach them that man is noblest when he died for man, and that their fathers were heroes and patriots worthy of the admiration of the world. Thus, by precept, you can inculcate into coming generations a love for those who sacrificed their lives while fighting for our liberty. But it is not by precept alone, for precept without practice lacks sincerity and fails of the desired effect. It is not in professions but in deeds that our Confederate dead won immortality. And here today, standing near the graves of our own heroes who slept their last sleep in your cemetery, and who dared the storm and encountered the cold grasp of death for us and our native land, let me exhort you in their revered and loved names to be true and steadfast in your adherence and devotion to Southern rights and Southern honor. In conclusion, I urge you to faithfully discharge every duty in this life, ever remembering the heroic deeds of the good soldier. And when you have passed over the beautiful river, you will there meet our Christian fathers, husbands, brothers, and sons. And there together with them, walk the golden streets of the New Jerusalem, singing praises to Almighty God, forever and ever. Amen. And I don't know that I can add a whole lot to what Captain Burson had to say. I think his words were altogether appropriate. It's important, you know, we remember those who went before us and how God used them. And that we be encouraged by that, as he said, you know, it's not just precept. It's not just putting out flags or flowers, but by deeds. You know, they were marked by deeds, and may God be pleased to mark us by deeds as well. We'll sing our closing hymn, and at the back of your hymnal, and if it's not in the back of the one you got, it should be in the back of one next to it, is God Save the South, an insert. The Confederacy never officially adopted a national anthem. Some look upon Dixie in that way, but many considered this song to be a national anthem. Certainly it was a national prayer, one that I think we can continue to say today. It was written by a Marylander, Charles W.A. Ellerbrock, actually Charles Wolfgang Amadeus Ellerbrock. And we'll stand as we sing this closing hymn together, God Save the South.
God save the South, His altars and firesides, God save the South. For a great war is nigh, and we will win or die, chanting our battle cry, freedom or death, chanting our battle cry, freedom or death. Our God is called, summoning all, summoning all of us unto the strife. Sons of the South, awake, strike till the brand shall break, strike for dear honor's sake, freedom and life, strike for dear honor's sake, freedom and life. God save the South, God save the South, dry your dim eyes and now follow our path. Still let the light be rolled, save through the orange grove, still keep the land we love, safe from the wrath, still keep the land we love, safe from the wrath.
Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for this day. Father, we thank Thee for those that went before us. We know that they were only what they were by Your grace, but Father, we thank Thee for the manifestation of that grace. We thank Thee for the truths that have been passed on to us, the precepts, and Lord, as Brother Burson reminded us, it's important that we not only believe these things, honor these things, but that we put our hand to the task, that we might, by Your grace, be marked by deeds, even as were those who went before us. Father, we pray for wisdom. We pray for courage to stand in these days that perhaps seem to us not altogether unlike those days in which our forebears stood. Father, thank You for each one that's here. Lord, thank You for this fellowship, the encouragement that we draw from one another. Father, thank You for Your unchanging word. We need not turn to self or to others, but we have the thus saith the Lord of Scripture. Lord, again, we pray for the grace to walk in that. Pray, Lord, for our loved ones. I pray You'd be with Heidi and her family as they travel back home today. Thank You, Lord, for the blessings of yesterday, blessings of today. Father, we thank You most for our Savior, Jesus Christ. We know that all is only possible because of Him. Father, we thank You for that everlasting love that spanned an eternity and has been shed abroad upon Your people. And we pray that You be with us in this coming week, that You be glorified in our lives. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.